Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Matilda Smith Thompson, Shannon Quinton, Lydia Kikuchi, Stacey Corrigan, Elvira Dabas, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Cheyenne Hampton, Kelly Milkey, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Stephanie Carnes, Whitney Griggs, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Katie Bollinger, Julia Jin, Julia Monin, David Webb, Jill Stellman, Rebecca Frederick, Peyton England, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Brian S., Stacey Keller, Bobby Young, Whitney, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Matt Mercier, Teresa Trapp, Jeannie Schneider, Spunky Cheek, Max Duration, Dana Wilkins, Laura Furman, Valerie Williams, Annie Quinn, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Ginny Comer, Daddy Cashin, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Don Roberts, Rebecca Harris, Michelle Plug, Suzanne Holland, Melissa Gilbert, Dean Butler, Sherry Benner, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Susan King, Jeff Griffin, and Megan Parker. Thank you all for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I am on today with a new voice in the mix, in the internet sphere of everything. We have Vanessa Cashman on. How are you doing, Vanessa?
Great. Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I am excited too. You're somebody who I've come across a number of times on the Facebook group, the Walnut Grovecast Facebook group, and I don't know. I always thought you seem to have a very good sense of humor, and you seem as though you're somebody who really enjoys the show. So I just thought, hey, you want to just do an episode?
Yeah, so here we are. I loved it. I never thought that my love for Little House would, you know, bring me here on this podcast, or that the show would, you know, have so many viewers this long later, and like such a huge fan base. And, you know, I love Paw. So
who doesn't? Yeah, totally. I mean, as he hears that, he's unbuttoning, you know.
I wish it was an episode where he broke his ribs, but you know, it's not.
But there are plenty of those to go around. But we do get a little bit of some Albert skin, so that might be good for some people out there. Didn't do too much for me. I mean, how old is Albert in this episode? We haven't even talked about the episode yet, and we'll get to it, but how old do you think he is here? Maybe 15, 16?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe he's built like an 11-year-old.
Yeah. Maybe they were playing towards the younger viewers at the time.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the episode that we struggled to choose? Than we just did.
Yes. The choosing this episode right here.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You know, do you want to talk about the episode that we're doing? And
I know. I'm like, it's I usually love the more like sad ones, you know, where they all get anthrax and half the town dies. But
well, you can't die in every episode.
I know. So this is a little, you know what?
Too bad lighter episode. Too bad we never got the bloody I forget the name of them, the serial killers that were very local to the area. The Bloody Boulders? Bulgers? I forget. I'll look it up real quick. But it's like a real thing that happened not too far from Walnut Grove during the period of time that this was all taking place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
That probably sparks my interest, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, talk about the episode that we're doing.
I don't know a lot about football, but I did look up some things. So, yeah, it's interesting.
So, yeah, the name of the episode is Fight Team Fight, which this was not in heavy rotation in my house. But I kind of remember it. I'm not a football fan either. I don't know very – I've been to one football game my whole life, and I watched the TV series Friday Night Lights. And that's all I know about football.
I don't know much.
I can make good chili, though.
I did look up, though, football started, right around that time. So it's kind of really right on the cusp of it even getting started. Like, I don't even know if there were teams at that time.
You know, I looked it up a little bit, too, and one particular date stood out. And that's November 6th, 1869. And that is what is considered the legitimately first college football game. And that happened to be between Rutgers and Princeton, right in New Jersey. And we do learn a little bit that Nels attended Princeton. I mean, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if we ever learned that before.
I didn't know that either. And so the, I don't know if you were going to give a little, you know, what was going on at the beginning of this.
I was going to play the opening clip, but, okay. You know, I'll set up where we're going. But yeah, I just wanted to mention this aired on October 13th, 1980. It's 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy, right? And we get introduced to a new family, the Ellerbees. And they seem to not have the best relationship. Actually, the mom and the son seem okay together. But it's always the dad. The dad is always the one who's is a little off. But I'm going to play. They seem to have a lot of money. I do want to mention this is a reoccurring trend that I tend to find. But there's a fern in the opening scene. In the Ellerbees' dining room. But yeah, it's an interesting fern too. I'm still not sure why there are so many ferns in.
Probably because it's always the same house.
No, this house, this is a really nice house. They, if you notice, the doors are pocket doors. They slide into the wall.
They do have a very nice house. They looks good for just moving back, huh?
Yeah, they have wallpaper. You have a lot of stuff. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, we have pocket doors down in my dining room, and my house is built in 1925. And that, I mean, it's kind of a fancy thing to have. I think it's pretty, pretty interesting. But anyway, I'm going to play this opening scene where we're sitting around the dining room table. We're just kind of talking about why we are here. So here we go.
You know, I think I like my study here better than I did the one in Boston.
Look, Mom.
Oh, my Dan, that's just wonderful.
It's Cap. Can you recognize him?
I certainly can. Pete, our son, has quite a talent.
Too bad it doesn't extend to football.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
After all, the boys at those academies were there because of their playing skills. It's no disgrace that Dan couldn't compete.
So you've said on numerous occasions.
It's true.
I say it's a matter of attitude. Always has been, always will be. Maybe moving back to Minnesota will help the boy, maybe not.
Dad, I'm gonna try, honest.
Well, that's all I can ask. You won't be growing up here like I did. We'd have to be poor for that. You're gonna be mixing in with plain, hardworking people, just like I did. Maybe it'll toughen you up.
Yuck. It's like, we're loaded. Why are we living here?
I was wondering the same thing. Like, what sparked his, you know, interest in football all of a sudden again?
I really think this might have something to do with him wanting to go back to his roots, maybe share that with his son, get his son to be a little tougher, maybe let his bangs grow out a little bit. His Dutch boy haircut is a little bit much. And I don't know. I just think people like this, I think, when people grow up kind of tough and they see their own offspring kind of a little bit softer, maybe they want that same type of experience, those tough experiences. But what kind of tough experience are they really going to have? It's not like they're coming back and manning a farm. You know,
yeah,
I'm not sure what he does, to be honest with you.
It said he retired.
So he's just living life.
Yeah. So they're not, what's his son really going to do? He's not really teaching him anything.
No, one thing I noticed that the son's name is Dan and he has a glass of milk in front of him. Now, where do they get milk? You know, these folks are not milking a cow.
They're not farmers. So where are they getting their milk and eggs and all that stuff, everything from the mercantile?
Yeah, the eggs you buy at the mercantile. I mean, Caroline definitely supplies daily. I mean, it's like 5 dozen a week or something. So
the double yolks.
Yeah, the double yolks. Yeah. and they never go on sale, really. I'm just kind of curious. I guess they're buying everything. But this is easily, in my opinion, the nicest house that I've seen, a little house in the prairie.
Sure. Yeah. They
His study.
Really China.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And it looks like Ma knows how to make a biscuit too. So that's pretty good. We're talking about football of the 19th century. And if you've ever seen Skechers or even semi-professional or college players, you'll see they were wearing like leather caps usually at best. Football's never been on the show, right? I mean, do you recall football ever outside of this episode?
Because at the beginning they said they were talking about the Walnut Grove football team, like it went on to, you know, do things. And I'm like, I've never heard of it outside of this episode. And can you imagine Nell's coaching before that?
And Nell's played apparently in university. So that's kind of interesting.
Did they both go to Princeton or did Mr. Ellerby go to Rutgers?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll have to get to it because it doesn't make too much sense. I was under the assumption that at first that they had gone to Rutgers. Now, all right, both Rutgers and Princeton are both in New Jersey, but it seems like they were classmates, or peers, really.
It sounded like they went to school together and they mentioned Princeton, but then later the wife was saying that, oh, you want Dan to go to Rutgers. So I was a little confused about that, but... Fun fact, Princeton was not even named Princeton until 1896.
What? That's a pretty fun fact. Uh-oh. <Sorry.
laughs> I don't know how to make that go off.
That's
okay. Right. Sorry, my first time podcasting.
It's all right.
What was it
called? Like New Jersey University?
I think
the Springsteen. Oh no.
Yeah, because they moved it to Princeton and named it Princeton. So like, oh, it was only the thing before the named what it was before that for like 9 years, and then it changed to Princeton.
I always think about like what's popular in New Jersey. What do I think of with Jersey? Bad water, big IKEA, Bruce Springsteen. That's about it. The Jersey Shore was a TV show that I never watched. I'm not really sure. But I'm very close to Jersey. But we really only go to Jersey when we're visiting family and when we have to drive through it to go somewhere else.
What area are you in?
I'm in Long Island. I'm on South Shore. We realized last night that we're Southerners. We were just making jokes about this. We're Southern New Yorkers. We're as south as you can be in New York.
I have not been there.
Oh, really? Where are you?
Opposite coast in Orange County, California.
California.
Yep.
With the Mafia. No, that's from the band War. But, I'm sorry, where in California are you?
In Huntington Beach.
Oh, okay. It's a great area. I love that area. But, it's a crazy time. So
it's usually nice. It's a little crazy right now. A little embarrassing.
A little bit. Sorry. That goes for most states, though, right now. Everything is kind of so up in the air. It's fine. Yeah. We have Little House.
You know what? I'm sure it has to be better than 1886, though. Those were rough times. I would have been weeded out. I would have not made it.
You wouldn't have been the girl who's like, I'm going to play football.
I would not have made it at all.
But
I always say that now to my husband, too. Anytime, you know, if like we lose power and I'm just like, oh, it's like Little House on the Prairie. I wouldn't have made it.
This is going to be another Annie Hall comment. Like, I noticed that the episode that I just released today, which was The Craftsman, I noticed that I mentioned Annie Hall, one of my favorite Woody Allen movies. And he's talking about this documentary about the Holocaust and basically with the character Annie Hall, which is played by Diane Keaton. And he's saying, you would never be able to handle the Holocaust. They take away your Macy's charge card and you just give up everyone. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact quote, but that's what it kind of reminded me of. It's like if they just took off my Wi-Fi, I don't know if I'd be able to handle much.
Exactly.
Ellerbee is in town. He's in front of the school where most things that are exciting happen, and he's kind of playing a simple game of football out there, and he notices Albert and right away. Who's that boy? So, Coach Olson calls him over.
I'd like you to meet Mr. Ellerbee and his son, Dan.
Oh, nice to meet you.
That was a good run you just made.
Oh, thank you.
Dan here is starting school today. He plays some football, too.
Oh, you gonna join our team?
Yeah, if it's all right.
Sure, we can use you. Come on.
Just, I had to leave Harriet in there. Just, it's always fun just to hear her. And just with the sourpuss, Nels looks at her and just thinks, why didn't I just go off and do what this guy did, making all this money? But
I wonder how he made his money.
Yeah, I wonder how Nels ended up staying in Minnesota. So strange. I'm sorry, go on.
He went to school. And then he came back to Walnut Grove?
See, here's the thing. Nels didn't grow up there, right? But he just happened to move to the same place that this guy grew up in? Very strange.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Nels had a conversation with him once. He goes, you know, I grew up in this little rinky-dink town. They have a mercantile that's for rent.
And then I was wondering, okay, so they're playing football there. And then he says, Dan's going to start school here today. So they're playing football. And then they have a meeting, the adults have a meeting in the school, and then they have school.
So, well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the teacher is Mrs. Wilder. She's out of control. She doesn't, it's probably like noon at this point. School hasn't begun. You know, she just kind of has her own rules and regulations. Or maybe it's another day. Do you think it's, no, it can't be another day.
Dan's starting school today. So I'm thinking they have practice before school and after school and a meeting before school. Like, what time is it? What's happening?
It's like 4 in the morning. But here we go. This is the meeting where Pete Ellerbee is basically introducing some new ideas.
And I'm happy to report that there's more than enough money in the treasury to cover the cost of the new textbooks.
What? There's cash in the bank? It's amazing. And, you know, that's another thing that's kind of funny is Nels is right there. Nels is leading this. Why is Charles not up there talking?
Who's putting money in the account?
Who knows? It's crazy.
So I'll send the order in today. Now, I realize that we have to adjourn pretty soon so Laura can get on with her classes, but I would just like to take this opportunity to...
It's Mrs. Wilder, actually. It's like she hasn't been Laura since, like, she sold you her horse, you know?
Show some respect.
Yeah, a little bit of respect here. Jeez.
To welcome back a native son. Pete Ellerby there left these parts years ago to become one of the great heroes of college football. I can attest to that myself because I was playing for Princeton when Pete, Big Rock they called him, was making Rutgers a great power.
Big Rock!
I was only third string, so I rarely had to face him myself, but I can tell you the team was pretty nervous any time they knew they had to face Big Rock.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, all right, so that clarified it. Nels went to Princeton, and he went to Rutgers.
How did they know each other? I don't know.
Everybody knew Big Rock. Come on, Vanessa.
You know what I noticed from that scene, though, is... What? Michael Landon's hair is like a skunk. There is
It's like a what?
It's like a skunk. He needs to get his roots done. And then later it looks like they did it. But yeah, I'm surprised he let it go that long.
How dare you? How dare you? Oh my goodness.
Well, anyway.
Pete,
welcome home. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I would raise my hand and go, why'd you come back? What are you here for? What are you trying to prove? What's your game plan here?
When I decided to retire from a successful business back east, there was one place I wanted to come, and that's right here, where my roots are. Nels Olson has been awfully generous with his compliments, and I want to thank him, Nels.
You're right about Charles, by the way. He really does have some dusty patches up there. It just looks like he was... chimney sweeping or something.
Life has been very good to me, but never so much as those four glorious years playing at Rutgers. You know, football is more than just a game. It's something that shapes a man's character and builds his confidence. Maybe no more than other life experiences, but certainly among the very best. My wife and son and I want to become a part of Walnut Grove in any way we can. And I'm thinking maybe I could make a special contribution by helping mold the fine young men in this town into a championship football team.
You mean like soccer? So he's basically going to contribute the time and money because they're immediately going to turn him into the coach, which makes sense. But it's, I don't know. It just seems like a crazy thing to do. A champion team for kind of no reason. So,
yeah.
I don't know. See, it seems a little strange to me. This whole thing seems a little bit strange.
Since we've never heard of anyone playing football in Walnut Grove before.
But apparently it's the biggest thing ever. So he's the new coach. It's Coach Ellerby, and he is giving Willie and Albert and the rest of the boys a bit of a speech the next day, which immediately, I think if I heard a coach talking this way and my son was on the team, I would say, you're quitting. You're getting off the team because he's a lunatic. Here we go.
I can't promise you a championship. What I can promise you is to teach you how to win, and that's the hardest, grueling work you'll ever know. If you've got it in you, you can become a winner, but only if winning becomes the most important thing in your life. That's right, I said the most important. You have to become totally dedicated, totally committed, and totally fit. If any of you can't handle that, you can leave right now.
You notice, later on he wears a turtleneck, and even now he's wearing this kind of fashionable sweater.
I wrote down like all the amazing sweaters he's wearing.
He's like sweater guy. I mean, what is this? I mean, all right, the turtleneck. It's like a sailor thing, really, right? It's something that did exist.
Yeah, seems like an odd thing to wear to me, but I kind of looked it up and it said that they wore wool sweaters because they would play outside in the cold. But in this episode, it doesn't look cold at all.
No, in real life, I'm sure it wasn't either. It's just the whole, his outfits are pretty cool, but I don't know. There's something about his whole outfit thing that I think was missed or something. Like they were trying to do something. It also could have something to do with the university.
Maybe because he has money also. I don't know. And he comes from Boston, that he has these amazing sweaters.
It's like a nice Gap sweater or a Benetton sweater.
I'm a huge Gap fan. So I'm just like, oh, that's a beautiful, right, you know, navy shawl neck cardigan cable right. knit.
Ooh, it's 15% off. Let's grab it. But yeah, I mean, they look heavy and they look well made. And we've never seen fashion like this on Little House.
And then I was wondering why the boys wore knit beanies.
Oh, that was to protect their heads.
It's the first football helmets weren't made until 1893, which were leather. And so I looked at photos and I didn't see anyone wearing any knit beanies. And I thought, well, maybe they could tell, you know, who's on whose team or whatever, but they're all just kind of wearing different colors. So I don't know where the knit beanies came from.
Yeah, I don't know either. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I would have thought the same thing with the separate teams and all that stuff. Because there's red and then there's like navy blue. I don't know. But so they're playing, and there's a lot of visuals in this episode. So some of the stuff we're going to glare over a little bit, but we're going to scold Dan. You know, Dan is the son, and any opportunity that Pete has, he's going to scold his son, who kind of just wants to have a relationship with his father, for sakes. But here we go.
Kicking the ball too low.
Sorry, Dad.
The ball has to hang high and long so your team can get downfield. Didn't I teach you that?
Yes, sir.
Well, then do it. Or do you think because you're an Ellerby it makes you special?
No.
You're wrong. It does. It means you have to work twice as hard as anybody else. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You're a melon. Did you ever see Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
Yes.
It's like the same speech. You're a melon. It's just, this guy, he's really just too tough on his son. I mean, my kid has been on like teams and everything. You see these kind of coaches and they take it so seriously. It's like they're 8 or 9 or something. And
yeah.
Oh my God. Just take a
Is
pill.
Is this a topic that has been covered like a few times on the show? Like the one dad who sent his son to Charles for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just feel like there's other episodes that are sort of like.
Like I'm going to, you know, fix you. Yeah. Like these type of, I mean, we see it in a number of things. We see it with the nephews where it's like the worst case scenario. We see it even outside of when it's like that. You know, we see it with the introduction of Nancy, you know, bringing a complete outsider into this realm and they're not able to fix her because she's awful. She's the worst.
You hate her. You really hate her.
I'm like, I don't hate her. And that's what I would say. You hate me. You really hate me. So we're around the dinner table that night.
There's raw as I'll ever hope to work with, but we're making headway.
This would be my biggest fear as somebody who's grown up without sports, really. Not that I discount the importance of sports for many people. This would be the worst case scenario for me. Like this is where my depression would come from if I was this kid.
Did I tell you our first game is with last year's champions?
Yes, I believe you did.
Well, it depends on how they improve between now and then. What they don't have yet is the right spirit. But if we do well against the champions, even beat them, that ought to do it, right, son?
I suppose.
What do you mean, I suppose? Come on, come on, you can speak up.
You sure?
Well, I've been working you hard enough. You deserve that at least.
So the dad is finally kind of giving him a little bit of attention. Dan is like really working really hard for that attention too. And I don't know. It's really nice because at some point he gives a compliment to Dan. And the mother's like, wow, you're actually being a father today. I don't know what happened here. And she even says, you know, I think it's really nice what you said, because he basically says that he's proud of him. So Dan gets up and he's kind of just alive all of a sudden, because he finally has the acceptance of a father that normally ignores him probably or criticizes him. So Dan leaves the room and mom basically says something that triggers dad, I think. Or not, doesn't trigger him, but I think she sees the reaction as just being a little too honest, maybe.
We'll be late for tomorrow's practice.
Oh, good night.
Good night, dear. Now, that was nice.
What?
Complimenting dad.
I hope it didn't overdo it.
Hardly. He needs your approval so very much.
Well, if he deserves it, he'll get it. Simple as that.
It does worry me how tired Dad's been looking.
All the boys are tired. That's part of the training. Once they toughen up, they won't be tired.
Is that how it works? I don't know. I'm still pretty tired. So Albert is doing his chores and coming in, and every time he comes home, he's getting more and more exhausted. Pa's hammering nails into a piece of wood. Didn't make the most sense in the world. He's doing something. He's doing man chores. And Albert comes just wandering in.
Hey, Albert?
Yeah, Pa?
Make sure you get those feed sacks unloaded before dark.
Albert has like dirt all over his face. He's a mess. And this is where Albert's getting a little older, too. He's grown a little bit. He's matured a little bit. And I think this is a good time to watch Albert. I think it's they're really developing the character well. Are you a fan of Albert?
I am. I think he, he lived on his own for a while. And I thought he was really part of the family, like, right away, right? Like, he's a good kid, and he's their brother, and, yeah.
Yeah, he works hard, and yeah. He appreciates things, and he's got manners.
Just like that.
Bit of addictive personality, which, of course, we learn about later on, but we all have our demons. So.
Oh, yeah.
You look awful.
Done in.
Practice was tough, huh?
I guess. It's sort of hard to take care of chores, do my homework, and practice football.
I can see that.
You know, Paul, I think it was real nice Mr. Elby to offer to coach us and all. But to tell you the truth, I'd just rather have Mr. Olson back.
You kidding me? How come?
Well, I used to like football a lot. Now it's just a lot of hard work.
Why do it?
Well, I can't let the team down.
Well, I guess you can if that's the way you see it. Just make sure you're not letting yourself down.
Thanks, Pa. Pa also, in total, like, Pa letting the boys get away with whatever they want, or boy getting away with whatever he wants. Pa's going to do his chores for him now.
Well, he was just hammering nails.
I don't know. I think he let Albert get away with so much more than he let those his daughters get away with. And I've yet to see Carrie do a chore, so that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
don't get me started on her.
I'm not gonna talk.
I was looking. I think I saw her in the background coming out of the schoolhouse, and I was just thinking, like, did they? Yeah, they didn't give her anything, any screen time or any lines or anything.
She had enough screen time to get that that fat check. I always wonder how much they actually filmed for each episode that actually ended up needing to be cut, because each episode is pretty, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in some of these. You can't imagine that they're going to be as, I guess, perfectly timed as they are nowadays, you know. I'm going to imagine that there are hundreds of hours of footage that is just sitting in some vault somewhere. Maybe it's thrown away. Who knows? Laura is grading papers, and she starts seeing that all of the people who are on the football team are doing poorly. Everyone. So she's, of course, getting concerned because it's just, you know, what's more important than schoolwork? So the next day we're playing football again. I mean, it becomes the center of all of their lives, really. And Albert seems to be the star player. He's the scrawniest of all of his friends, but for whatever reason, he's the star player. Albert is, he's getting sacked every once in a while. He's trying to play. He doesn't seem like he's having too much fun. And he's just kind of getting fed up. You see, like, the old school Albert coming out where it's like, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to stand up to this man. And that's exactly what he does. He decides he's going to quit. So let's see how that goes.
Mr. Ellerby?
Yes?
Look, I know you've been counting on me to help win our game against Redwood Falls.
I'm counting on everybody, Albert.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't want to play anymore.
Would you mind telling me why?
Because it doesn't leave room for anything else. I'm so tired out I can't do my homework or my chores. Every day I come out here to get knocked around and jumped on, and I don't know why.
Then I think definitely you shouldn't be playing. If you don't know why you want to play football, why play it? The other boys seem to know why they're playing it. They want to learn something courageous and difficult and do it well. They want to be part of a winning team. A winning team is something where every man does his best so as not to let the others down. Football is a basic lesson in life. It's a fundamental step to becoming a man. If you can succeed in it, you can succeed in anything. Without that knowledge, your talent isn't enough, and sooner or later you'll let the team down. Why? Because you don't have what it takes to be a competitor.
So he's really laying it on thick here.
He got him really fired up.
And 45 seconds later... Albert is begging to come back. It's crazy how this guy just completely flipped his opinion, and it literally took 45 seconds. But so Albert comes running back, and he's like, "I'll do your laundry. You know, I'll do anything."
Matt,
Mr. Ellerby,
I think we said everything there is to say, Albert.
But I've changed my mind.
The decision is final, Albert. Now go home.
But I never thought about the game the way you said. I didn't know it's supposed to mean so much.
Well, it does.
Please, can't you give me another chance?
I can't give you another chance, son. It's up to you. You can't pretend to want to play football. You have to know it.
Oh, brother. So he's back on the team, you know. And this
guy felt bad for that kid that was the quarterback that took his place for 45 seconds.
Well, those were his finest moments. Almost a moment. Just under a moment.
45 seconds, yeah.
Oh my God. It's really just so crazy. I mean, and this guy really sounds like the way, if you've ever seen Friday Night Lights, the TV show, it's exactly the way the coaches talk to the players. It's crazy.
Boy. I have not. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't. My son hasn't played football or anything.
Yeah, we're kind of against any type of full contact sport, which can give you brain injuries. We're not. We try to stay out of those particular sports. My son's more of a chess club kind of kid.
And Albert seemed to be on the bottom of the pile. Often.
Several times. So what do they decide to have dinner at, I almost called them Larrabee's. Imagine all of a sudden it's Larrabee, you know, the racist Ellerby. And it's like the nicest dinner ever, you know, like everyone is dressed up better than, They're wearing better clothes than even, like, Sunday best.
Pa wore his best suit. I was trying to think. I saw him wear that suit to the reunion.
Yes.
But when else does he wear a suit like that?
Caroline's dreams. I don't know. I'm not really sure. They're just talking about football. And it's all this guy talks about. It's like, oh, my God.
Right?
It's like, it's like, you know, we have a sawmill. Maybe we could talk about the sawmill.
And there was a lot of shots, I felt like, of like something in the foreground close up. And then, but really you're looking at what's in the background. So like he's talking football and then Mrs. Ellerby is in the back just giving him stink eye because she hates his guts. Right.
Yeah. I
sick of hearing about it.
Well, she's really fed up. It almost seems as though Dan is not his son. Like I don't know. I maybe they would have tried to do that if it was a more modern story, but it just seems like he has really no connection to this kid. Even at the happy ending, which spoiler alerted, supposedly ends happy.
He's having a life crisis or something.
Maybe that's all this is. So we're going to talk about how football is war and war is good and it teaches a man how to be a man.
Well, it's just something that happens in time, sort of like what happens in war.
Because they're talking about how Willie is all of a sudden so intentive, so focused on this. Same thing with Albert. They can't believe the change that their children are going through. They're just so impressed with it.
War.
That's right. New soldiers in the beginning usually resent the hardship of training and discipline. Then, with the first sign of battle on the horizon, they see that only by depending on each other can they win.
It's a most unusual comparison.
Not really. Any group effort with an element of danger brings people closer together and instills a team spirit. That's what's happened to Albert and Willie and even my own son, I might add. They have a team spirit and they really want to win. Football played properly, Mrs. Ingalls, is a war.
And yeah, you're right. Mrs. Ellerby is in the back and she's like, I'm going to slit his throat one morning. She's wearing a really cool outfit, actually. It's almost like a tuxedo outfit with these long sleeves.
She had some nice outfits and lace and hats and yeah.
We don't really get to learn much about her. I liked her character a lot. She seemed pretty strong too. Like she seemed really confident and very, I don't know, like she was very open to saying what's on her mind, even though she would regret it almost every single time. She was a very modern woman, I guess.
What did she do with her time? If she's not, you know, raising chickens or farming or, you know.
Well, she's creating society. She's creating Walnut Grove society. A book club, maybe. And that's something, you know, there's a little side note. One of the things I'm working on, which is like a side podcast for, or that will be introduced through Walnut Grove Cast, is, and it's, there's so many working titles, but the original title was the Harriet Olson Book Club for the Sophisticated. And it was supposed to be just reading the Laura Ingalls Wilder books and having people discuss it. You know, maybe read 4 chapters of it or something and have people just kind of discuss it. So that's something in the future. And I would say that maybe Harriet and Sandra Ellerby would have founded that book club this night, this very night. Who knows?
I don't think she'd be friends with Harriet.
No, well, who else? There's not too many people to be friends with. It's like Caroline, Alice. That's about it. Mrs. Whipple. I don't know.
Where are the other boys? Like, what happened to like Carl and
Andy?
Yeah, where are they?
Working, choring, doing chores.
there's probably more kids on that team, boys on that team, that would even fit in the schoolhouse.
Yeah. So wait, are you saying that it's a little bit of a scandal? Maybe they're kind of shipping in players?
Yes.
It's kind of like when they've, like, on Little League teams, and they have kids who are, like, 14 years old playing against 9-year-olds.
Maybe it's the homeschooled kids.
Yeah, it's the homeschooled kids. They're all homeschooled. I mean, they're all going to need to be homeschooled after we see the manipulation that's coming pretty soon. But we have Sandra basically ribbing, what's his name? Pete. Ribbing Pete a little bit, and he cannot take it. He cannot take any criticism whatsoever from this woman.
See you at the first football game.
Hey, we'll be there. Hope we win it.
It's a pleasant evening, I would say.
I don't think they were too thrilled with that war analogy.
Well, it happens to be true.
And that touchdown story?
What about it?
Oh, Lord knows, I've heard you tell it 100 times, and over the years, it's kind of grown, with more yardage, and...
I mean, she's just being, like, humorous about it. Like, she's just playing around, and it's like, he gets so upset. Holy moly. Do you have any friends who are like this? You don't have to actually answer that, but I do.
No. I do. No, I don't think I would hang out with someone that just talked about football all of the time.
Oh,
it
no, no.
Football, but
I mean, somebody who's sensitive like this. I have one friend who, he cannot be called out for anything by his spouse or one of his children, and it's just weird to me.
Like, oh yeah, me and my husband joke all the time.
Yeah, you have to. But, so, yeah, you see him kind of getting heated on this.
Just the way it happened.
Pete, I'm only joking with you. Where's your sense of humor?
I don't see anything humorous about a man's wife calling him a liar.
I wasn't doing that. That game was so long ago, nobody could remember the exact details.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Fine, let's forget it.
Another fern in the background. Another fern people.
You have to be rich to have ferns?
Well, there's ferns throughout Little House. Blind School has ferns. We see a fern in Haunted House in that he had money. I forget his name. But there are ferns everywhere in Little House. It's just something about it. Oh, this is actually just dead air, but he sits down and he's looking at his scrapbook and, you know, he really is, maybe it is a midlife crisis type of thing. He seems a lot older than her.
Something.
He does seem quite a bit older than her, right?
He does look like it. I feel bad for her. That's all
too.
He talks about.
Yeah. I feel like she's stuck. You know, so Willie, the next day they're practicing, it's all they do. And Willie's exhausted and he's like, can't we just take a break? And he's like, well, why? So, Willie gets his little moment here.
Coach, couldn't we just rest for a few minutes?
I don't understand you people. Your game's getting better, but you still don't have any stamina.
Same old problem. Laura, Miss Wilder, she won't ease up on the homework assignments.
So, the bottom line is, I mean, schoolwork is the most important thing in this town for forever, since like episode one. So, we bring football in for 45 seconds, and all of a sudden, it's secondary. We have to talk to Laura. So Pete decides to make a little visit to Mrs. Wilder, Laura, you know, to cut down on the homework, which I don't know. It's so like, I'm sure this happens still all the time. We always hear about these type of things where football players don't even know how to read and they're in like full run on like scholarships, and that's just tragic. So this is where it started. WannaGrove.
Wilder.
Mr. Ellerby.
Sorry to disturb you.
Well, that's all right. Just trying to get a head start on grading these test papers.
Meaning the teacher has as much homework as the students?
More. Much more.
Well, you seem to be a dedicated professional. That's commendable.
Thank you. I guess I am.
I won't keep you. There's something I've been meaning to discuss.
Oh?
I think you know how hard the football team's been working preparing for its first game this weekend.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
They've made remarkable progress, all things considered, except in one area. And I'm hoping you might be able to help out there.
Well, if I can. What area is that?
Sleep.
Sleep?
They all seem to be suffering from the lack of it. And the reason given seems to be you. Too much homework.
Well, that is a coincidence.
Oh?
We seem to have identical problems. My students, the ones on your team, claim that they can't do their homework assignments properly because of you.
Oh, boy. So this, I mean, they're clashing. I mean, these are... It's little Laura versus the big, rich, famous football player. Who do you think is going to win?
She stood her ground.
She did.
I was impressed.
She did. She did well. And... He's just, I thought that after this scene, he was going to do something to get her replaced or something. And like, we need to bring in a new teacher.
Yeah, he was being a jerk. Thinking that she was gonna, I don't know, just do whatever he said.
Well, he's the rich, famous guy, you know, maybe he's used to that. Albert gets hurt. He gets squashed. And they go off to Doc to check out to see if he has any broken ribs. This is a diagnosis.
Definitely no ribs broken.
Does that mean I can still play football?
I said no ribs were broken. Not that you couldn't have a slight fracture in one of them.
Doc's right. No, he's taking any chances.
Exactly.
But I know that if I did. Honest, it hardly hurts at all.
I can only give you my opinion. The rest is up to your father.
We won't stand much chance without Albert.
Pa, please. It means so much to the team. I'll be all right.
A little morphine, you forget you even have pain.
Maybe that's where it started.
Maybe.
Albert, I'm sorry.
Doc, what about if you tape him up real good?
Wink, wink.
I could do that. It's bound to be painful.
But it's...
you know... Tape him up and, you know, give him a little morphine.
What is Pete even doing there?
I don't know. He's the coach.
It's not. Really, it isn't. Please, Paul, I have to play.
Don't worry. If he has any pain during the game, I'll take him right out.
It's against my better judgment. All right, go ahead.
Oh, boy. Maybe you shouldn't share that with Caroline, though, because I think she would talk you out of that pretty quickly. So they tape him up. They tape him up like Sylvia. bad joke. All right. So so Albert has to go do chores, and he goes to lift things. He's in a tremendous amount of pain. I've never broken a rib, but I can kind of imagine that it would hurt a whole heck of a lot. And he didn't break a rib either. So, but Pa did, and that looked like it hurt. Let's see. So Albert's still going to play, which is kind of amazing. But at the same time, we need that kind of drama for this episode. There's some pretty cool music. You know, this is a big game. I guess it's WannaGrove versus somebody. Did you catch who that was?
They have an R. The green team has an R on it. I looked it up on a map, and the nearest little town is called Revere.
That's the Reveres.
I don't know. So I don't know if that's them or if that map is, you know, too recent.
I'm going to call this clip the Revere fight song. Because this is the music that we hear. And I don't know. I think I really kind of like this. This really, to me, sounds like exactly the kind of music you could have expected
in 1880 in Walnut Grove Super Bowl, whatever you want to call this. Who's paying for all this?
Where did the band come from?
Oh my, they flew them in from.
They from Revere? Are they from Sleepy Eye?
Those are the, that's the Revere ensemble. I'm not really sure, but they're world famous. They're not. So Albert's team, you know, the Walnut Groves, look a lot like cat burglars to me.
Yes.
they just look like, and the other team is wearing, I guess, like a, would that be a Kelly green sweater and caps? I like their outfits a lot. The Revere's. We just have to call them the Revere's, right? The Pirates. The R's. We have, let's see, we see the best sweater of the entire episode. We have Pete Ellerbee's turtleneck, which is just epic.
The cable net, the gray cable net.
Yeah, I need to get a quick screenshot of this. If I could knit, I would knit a sweater like this in 5 different colors. I would need, but I would definitely need that, what do you call that? Like heather gray, you think it is?
Yeah.
You would definitely need one. He really should be wearing a cap as well that matches. It's the only thing. One of the accessories that the women seem to have out there today are umbrellas, which is interesting. Mrs. Ellerbee is wearing a really incredible outfit.
Is it the blue hat, right?
It's like a slate blue outfit. She's got white knitted gloves. The whole outfit, I'm like, whoa, you live in Walnut Grove, lady. What are you trying to prove?
She's trying to outdo Harriet. Harriet's probably jealous.
I think that Harriet loves it because she's like, you have to order everything from a catalog. Everything has to be store-bought with this one.
That's right.
But yeah, Harriet has the a pink umbrella. It's a nice umbrella as well. But Willie is getting crushed. That's what she says anyway. So I'm going to play that. It's kind of funny to hear her freak out. Let me get this exact time.
Crushing Willie! You let him play in this game, I told you!
You're the one who wanted to buy the uniform so he could play!
Oh, shut up!
So it's so fun. Everyone's just kind of reacting to them and laughing. And who are these people? My God. The only thing missing here is the keg of beer that they had during the, I think it was called the Big Inning, which was the baseball themed episode.
And they had a keg?
Yeah, they had a beer keg, yeah. A wooden
was
one.
Was it Mr. Edwards?
You know what? I don't think anybody who lived there was drinking it. It was, you just see the picture of the opposite team drinking a lot of beer. He's got one of those big, like, handlebar mustachios. So, they're crushing Willie. Walnut Grove is being crushed. They're not winning at all. Let's see. Albert gets hurt. So he just thinks, you know, he's making a call for himself. He's approaching the coach and he wants out.
Yeah, coach.
Albert, what's wrong with you? You're not giving 100% and you know it.
I'm trying to, coach, but I hurt. You better take me out.
Take you out? Listen to me. Do you think you're the only boy that ever played this game with an injury? Of course you're hurting, but this is football. That's part of the game. I used to play a whole season in pain, but I didn't quit. I didn't ask to be taken out because I knew my teammates depended on me. We can win this, Albert. We can win it, but not without you. Now use your pain. They hurt you, you hurt them. Now come on, son, let's get in there and beat them. Come on, let's go.
No. This is what's weird, is I'm reminded of The Karate Kid with Cobra Kai and the whole, you know, work through your pain. This really is a tactic that we see so often, and it never ends well. The only thing that I expected that didn't happen was, and it could be a spoiler, most people listening to this probably have seen the episode, nobody dies at the end. I kept thinking that Rob was going to die or almost die or be injured and never be able to play again, and there would be all that regret, but that just doesn't happen. Let's see. We get a little bit of ribbing from the Revere's.
It's been all right. He's going back in.
Hey, kid. You guys play like a bunch of girls.
I like that guy. that's your typical, like, just Albert looking at him is so funny. It's like giving him the total stink eye. Like, you guys play like a bunch of girls. I'm just surprised he didn't say, what does the W stand for in your chest? Wimps? would have been better than you play like a bunch of girls. Maybe not. Maybe not. It's a lot of running back and forth at this point. It's an extremely visual episode, as I said before. But I'll play some of it. Finally, you get the Walnut Groves scoring. They're really getting slaughtered, but at this point, they start winning. Yeah, a lot of that. It may as well just be static. What I don't know enough about with football is I always thought that in order to get the goal, you had to go through the middle of those of that tee that they have set up. And when Albert goes, all he does is cross the line, but he's to the left of that, of the goal post. So I didn't know if that was a legal thing, because then they kick it. So yeah, so if you're listening to this podcast and you know a little bit more about the classic rules of football, is that a legitimate win, or is that a foul, I guess? Not really. I don't care, really. Albert is clearly in a decent amount of pain, and he gets tackled again. And, you know, when these kids get tackled, remember, the only thing that's really protecting them is about 10 millimeters of wool. It's terrible.
On your feet, Albert! Come on, get mean, on your feet!
Albert's, like, holding his side, and he's just in a lot of pain. So, Pa sees this, and I don't know, you know, Pa's Pa, so he's going to take him out of the game, whether Albert wants to get out of the game or not.
Ellaby, just take my boy out of here.
What?
Take him out.
Just when we're in a position to score?
All right, you don't take him out, I will.
Time out.
Oh, we can win.
Maybe you can. We're going to have to do it without you. Come on.
Did you hear Pa? If you listen real close, he goes, these guys are a bunch of losers anyway.
That's the Pa I like, though, is like, you know, standing up for his family. I'm surprised it took him, you know,
went
against better judgment before.
I can't believe Caroline let him get this far. I mean, this, you know, there's going to be some finger wagging in over dinner this night, you know, from Caroline. Kind of like,
there's no popcorn tonight.
There's a little burnt popcorn at best, whatever that means. So, but we're going to put Dan in. That's the problem is Dan. I don't know. Dan looks scared too. Cause that's another thing we didn't mention is the other team is probably a good 20% bigger. And they just seem like they're much more experienced, and I don't know. They seem to be more on.
Right.
Yeah, they're champions, right? Yeah, I forgot about that. So here we go. We're going to put Dan in. We're going to, he's the best player that they have. So you just know where we are now.
Me?
We've got this last chance to win the game.
Oh, but Dad, I'm not good enough.
You're the best we have left.
Oh, Dad, I
want you to make me proud of you. You want me to be proud of you, don't you?
Oh, I hated that so much. Like, I mean, what father says, you want me to be proud of you, and if you, in other words, if you don't do this.
Yeah.
It should just be an unconstitutional. What am I talking about? Unconditional, show of affection. It just, it's silly.
Yes, sir. Then show him. Show him you're Pete Ellerby's boy. Okay, come on.
Don't send him in there.
He'll only be in a couple of minutes.
I don't.
See, that's where I thought, like, this kid's not going to come back out. He's dead, right? And she's mad. She's like, this is my boy.
I care. You promised.
I didn't promise you anything. Stop interfering. If you don't want to watch the game, then go.
Okay, Dan, let's go. Here we go, boy.
The whole thing, she just looks petrified. And you said your son never played football?
No.
Yeah, it's it just seems like such a... I mean, I know kids who do play and they seem to like it. And there are a lot of safety precautions that they take. It's just, it's such a physical sport that...
Yeah, I wouldn't really feel comfortable.
Yeah, not especially when you hear so many horror stories. Ma looks so pissed. Like, she's like, yeah, you're right, no popcorn for a month. And Pa's like got his hands in his pocket and he's like, oh, yeah, I know, I should have listened.
Now Pa's going to have to do Albert's chores for, for a while now.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think of that. But here we go. We're in Doc's office again. I don't know who's paying for this. Jeez.
Wonder what's happening.
Just relax. Let the doc manage you.
Wait for Caroline to turn and say, oh, now you have an opinion. Oh, now you have all the advice in the world. Now that he's standing here, like, having some level of internal bleeding. Spleen has been ruptured. Poor kid.
So the doc can feel the ribs, like, through the tape that he already put on? Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
What is that? Problem.
Yeah, it's easy, actually. If you push hard enough, I guess you can see if the rib is broken.
I don't even know how they know back then, before x-rays. You could just feel it.
Yeah, I'd like to know if we could vet his degree, because I don't know. I think most of this is guessing.
Isn't he a veterinarian anyway?
Yes. See, are you a horse doctor, sir?
You're a lucky boy. Could have shoved one of those broken ribs right through the lung.
This is interesting. All right, so this is a little bit of a side note, and I don't know if this is towards Matthew Laborto or not, but Matthew Laborto on his left arm, he looks like he has a vaccine scar. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you have the video up, but if anybody wanted to bring it up at 3842, I mean, it could be something. It could be a chicken pox scar, for all I know. But his left shoulder looks like
like the circle polio?
Yeah, like the polio shot that they used to give. But normally you would only get that if you were born outside of the country. And I'm not really sure if Matthew Laborto was born outside of the country. Is he Canadian or something? I mean, the Canadian would have gotten it if they were to come here.
Or over a certain age, right? I think my parents...
But, Matthew Laborto is only a little bit older than me. I don't know if it could be just a scar, or it just could be it could have absolutely nothing to do with the polio shot. But it looks, I mean, it's big. It's like the size of a dime. So.
Well, he doesn't get polio on the show, so.
No, leukemia, yes. Work. Not polio. Poor guy. So, all right, so here's more of Doc going on.
What would happen then?
It's hard to say. But you should have come out of that game when you started hurting real bad.
I wanted to.
Then why didn't you?
The way Mr. Ellerby talks. I don't know. It makes me want to forget everything but winning. When it's the only thing that's important.
Winning's fine, but it ain't worth much when you're not around for the victory party.
You mean it could have been that bad?
I mean, God give you pain to make you quit whatever it is you're doing. It's kind of a signal. If a person don't heed it, then he's going to get himself into a heap of trouble.
It's not what Tony Robbins says. With his personal power. So there's just an ongoing onslaught of I keep wanting to see Larrabee. I keep literally have to scroll up Ellerby. Ellerby making his son feel bad, saying "make me proud." They lose. I'll just get to that. They don't win the game, but it's really kind of a good thing. They're all coming together. Hey, good game. Nice try. Albert comes. He sees the completed part of the game. He's still cheering for his fellow teammates, even though he's still in pain. And Ellerby just loses it on these guys.
All right, quiet down. I said quiet. No game you lose is a good game. You could have won that game, but you didn't want it bad enough. Well, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to work you boys so hard this week, you'll think this game was a picnic.
Somebody say picnic? So,
he sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, his son is bleeding. It's really just awful. What a jerk. Let's see. His son hates football. I mean, even if he liked football a little bit, his dad has made him genuinely hate any aspect of it. He's laying in bed. He's probably the most sore that he's ever been in his entire life. He's probably actually never done any amount of labor in his life.
That's right.
His bedroom is huge. His bedroom is the size of the first floor of the little house. But yeah, he's in bed. He's talking to his mother, and his mother is just the sweetest woman in the world. So.
I'll bring it up.
I don't want to play anymore. I never wanted to play in the first place.
I know.
I did my best today. I did. I can't be what he wants me to be. I want him to love me, but I...
So sad. That's just, like, heartbreaking. So she goes out to talk to him. He's in his really awesome office. We see this trophy he has with the football in it. I don't know what that trophy is exactly. It's the championship, probably. Whatever that might have been.
They show it in, like, or maybe it was that game he was talking about, but and then it's in those, you know, clippings in the beginning that he keeps looking at.
Yeah.
He's obsessed.
He is. He's really all, you know, the best times of his life happened, you know, 20 some odd years ago instead of like right now. So, him and his wife talk about what's going on.
We were that close.
You lost Dan today, too. He doesn't want to play football anymore.
No, don't be silly. He just has a few bumps and bruises. He'll be all right. He just needs to toughen up, that's all.
That's not what he needs.
Well, I think his coach would know more about that than his mother.
He doesn't need a coach. He needs a father. He needs a man to hold him and to love him once in a while.
Well, you make a sissy out of him if you want to. I'm going to make him a man.
I don't believe I'm hearing this. What does it take to make you understand?
It's you that doesn't understand, and you never will.
Oh, what am I supposed to understand? That this makes a man put things on me?
Sandra, stop it! I said stop it!
Hurting people doesn't make you a man. Knowing how to love them does.
So she got through to him somehow. I don't know. She's throwing his trophies around and for good reason. I mean, I think he deserved that.
And then I think he gets it gets a little too dramatic with him, you know, picking up the trophies and just still talking about winning.
Oh man, he gets really creepy. I'm gonna play just a moment of that. He's picking up the trophies, like you said, and he just seems. Well, you also said he's obsessed.
I could make something out of that boy. He's got guts.
Talking about Albert.
Yeah. I could make something out of that boy.
Order of Protection. It's like, yeah. What a creepo.
If I was Miss Ellerby, I would want to, you know, I'd want to be out of there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the whole thing is just crazy. I don't know if this is the next day or a couple days later, but we're at the football stadium and we're at practice, and Albert comes up to talk to Coach.
Hi, Mr. Ellerby.
Well, you're a welcome sight. How are your ribs?
Oh, still real sore. But the doctor says I'll be good as new in a month or so.
Good, good. Might mean you'll be able to play in the last game, maybe the last two.
No, sir, I don't think so.
Well, it depends on what your doctor says, of course.
Not even then. That's what I came to tell you.
Oh?
Yes, sir. I don't mean to say I didn't appreciate playing. All the things you taught me, team spirit, needing to win, not giving up.
They're all true, you know, Albert.
I guess they are. But you see, sir, I plan to grow up to be a doctor, not a football player. And I do need my studies, and I just can't afford all the time it takes to practice.
You mean football isn't important enough to you?
Not that important. It's just a game to me. And games are fun. Football used to be fun. Maybe we lost all but one game last year, but it was still fun. Mr. Ellerby, playing this way just isn't fun.
You're dead to me, boy. Surprised you didn't say that. So it's a weird ending because it's almost as though that got through to him more than his own wife got through to him.
That's exactly what I wrote down too, is why did that get through and not his wife? And it kept showing her trying to talk to him and he was just ignoring her.
Right. You've known this kid for 6 weeks. it's almost like he's in love with Albert.
Or, yeah, he wishes that was his son who, you know, who was good at football.
Yeah,
but
it's like
really abrupt, like the ending. It was just, to me, it wasn't really a satisfying closure what they could have done. I think that it could have shown him you know, saying, like, being close to his son or apologizing to his wife or having some family time.
Yeah,
or doing
it's not very Little House. Like, it could have been like him seeing his son, putting his arm around him and say, hey, what do you say we just go fishing or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's what it should have been.
Yeah. And it's like, instead he wants to put his arm around Albert and say, hey, you want to go fishing? He's in love with Albert. Just like so many people are. Their hearts really go out to Matthew Labrador. So here's the weird ending. It's very abrupt. And we get a little bit of a voiceover from Laura for some reason.
All right, practice is over. You've had enough for today.
Coach, where are you going?
I'm going home to talk to my son.
Mr. Ellerby cut the practice sessions in half the rest of the season, and my students' grades improved. The Walnut Grove football team finished with a record of 2 wins and 6 losses. But they had fun.
Not a great record. Not a great record.
And then you never see the Ellerbys again.
No. You never hear about football again.
Did they move away? Did he continue to coach? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I don't know. It's a very strange, strange.
It's like they just ran out of time and just summed it up. Okay, the end.
And it's weird because it's never like, and they moved away the following spring. It's nothing like that. It's like, no, For the rest of the year, he did this. And all these boys that you see in this episode, they do not return next week.
They should have said something about him and his son doing something else other than football.
I want to see what the next episode was. The Silent Cry, which is another kind of a forgotten one. Ooh, Portrait of Love. This is a... It wouldn't... Divorce Walnut Grove Style would come 3 episodes after this. So, I mean, it's kind of a weird time for Little House in general. And I'm trying... I just want to see what the previous episode was. A New Beginning. So... Yeah. So after, this is very, very, this is all a very weird period of time. Prior to this, we have Laura Ingalls Wilder Part 2, this is a whole, such a weird period of time with Little House on the Prairie in the universe that exists. So a filler episode. Is the best I could say.
And it's one of those ones where they throw in this family and you don't even see the main characters all that much.
I think it's a worthwhile episode. I don't think that this is a great episode to kind of throw somebody as, hey, if you want to really see an episode that gets people into it, I don't know if I would recommend this one.
You wonder if there was football, something going on at the time that kind of influenced them to have this kind of episode, or the whole part where the coach is telling Laura to give him less homework. That seems like something that, we've seen on other shows. So, maybe they were influenced by other shows at the time.
It's definitely a strange one. But Vanessa, I want to thank you very much for getting together and reviewing this episode of Little House on the Prairie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.